This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Good morning. They say you should never run to a microphone. Just then I had to run to a microphone, so I apologize if I'm a little out of breath.
And I'm sorry if I'm still finishing my breakfast casserole that I ate during
breakfast
that commercial
casserole.
Break.
Mm-hmm. Carl, I don't remember us getting any breakfast casserole. Oh, do you?
It's in the mail.
We're not pregnant, Mark.
Oh, well, no, we are definitely not.
I only have, like, what, five more months of using that excuse, so I'm going to take advantage of it. Thanks, Carl.
Keep using it.
Well done. Happy that you tuned in this morning. If you missed our last hour, we talked to Dennis Hancock, who's running for county executive. And you can, of course, check that out on the podcast. All you have to do is go to 971talk.com or the Odyssey app. You can download that. We try to make it easy. Also, earlier this morning, Beavis Shock joined us. Funny guys, local attorney. But we were talking to him about the serious subject of whether or not Prop A, remember that from the election last year, the minimum wage proposition? It is before the Missouri Supreme Court right now. It might get overturned on basically a technicality that it violated law by having more than two issues in one proposition, and the Supreme Court's looking at that. We talked it over with Beavis Shock this morning about 6:20, so you can go back and listen to that on the podcast and on demand as well. So thank you for that. Just go check those out. Coming up, we are going to talk to our buddy Griff Jenkins, who is all over Washington. He's been covering all sorts of stuff up there from immigration to some of this government shutdown threat that's happening tomorrow night, I think. Friday night at midnight, I think, is when the government runs out of money. Now, most of us won't notice. That's the beautiful thing about it. Maybe it's the best argument for Doge. If the Democrats are willing to let it shut down, which it sounds like they are, then maybe we don't need as much government as we thought. You know, I'm just thinking out loud there. We'll see what happens. You know, I have told you a lot about my my March picks out at McAdoodles. We're going to get my friend Mike McKenna on this hour as well to talk a little bit more about what's available out there. He's also got a contest going on right now where you can win some fabulous bottles if you visit him out there today. So we'll talk to him about that. And then Joe Brazel is going to join us from St. Charles County before the end of the hour. They've got their St. Patrick's Day parade going on, and they want to talk about that so people can make some plans for this weekend if you are in town. So, all right, right now, Carl, let's get to some of our top stories here, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
House Democratic leadership came out strongly against partisan Republican spending bill. It was a right-wing extremist wish list that would hurt the American people.
A right-wing extremist wish list that is the same continuing resolution with a few minor changes from what the Democrats voted on when Joe Biden was supposedly still president of the United States last fall.
Republicans do not have the votes in the Senate to invoke cloture on the House CR.
Yeah, they may not, but if you don't vote for it, you are the one responsible for shutting down the government, Mr. Schumer.
Today, the Green New scam ends as the EPA does its part to usher in the golden age of American success. We at EPA will do our part to power the great American comeback.
Boy, Lee Zeldin, that was a big announcement yesterday, talking about the biggest deregulatory action by the EPA in American history. This is what we voted for.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
We're talking about here. What the markets are reacting to right now is Trump saying 25% on Mexico and Canada, and then the next day saying, oh, never mind.
That's called negotiating.
Kevin O'Leary bringing the heat on CNN yesterday as the anchor there, Abby, was like, this is not what we're not talking about reciprocal tariffs. We're talking about threats to Mexico and Canada that are 25% one day and 50% the next day. And that's what the market is reacting to. And he goes, that's called negotiating. You're not used to it, but that's what Donald Trump does. I loved that. If you missed that bite yesterday, I've got it. It's one of the ones I've got to play for you again this morning, because that same one with Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary, because they're trying to understand and explain to people what's going on in this country when it comes to these tariffs. It's not a game for Donald Trump. As much as the media wants you to seem like there's chaos in Washington, it's not a game. It's all very well thought out, as O'Leary tried to explain to the collection of dimwits that they sometimes get there on CNN in the evenings. Listen.
Now, tariffs themselves, nobody understands. If you ask the average person walking down the street what's a tariff, they have no idea. What Trump is trying to do is to reset the tariff schedules that were set in place after the Second World War in every single country, not just Canada, not just Mexico, but Germany and England and France and Switzerland and India. So it's very simple. Let's say we make sugar, as we do, and India makes sugar, and they put 110% tariff on our sugar going to India. Why don't we just reciprocate? So what happens in a trade war where tariffs are escalated is when both sides say to each other.
But I do want to distinguish between what you're talking about, reciprocal tariffs, which he's promised.
That's coming April 2nd.
Yeah, right. He's promised are coming. And what has actually been happening now, which is that Trump claims that they're going to be massive across the board tariffs on two countries that we have a trade agreement with.
I know
with.
You don't like Trump's style.
No.
You haven't liked it for 12 years.
I don't want people to be confused, is what I'm saying, about what we're talking about here. What the markets are reacting to right now is Trump saying 25% on Mexico and Canada, and then the next day saying, oh, never mind.
That's called negotiating.
He has to explain it to them slowly. That's called negotiating. What was he negotiating over? This bite by Howard Lutnick yesterday, the Commerce Secretary, if I had a soundbite of the day like Mark Reardon does, this would be my soundbite of the day. This is fantastic as he once again tries to school them. This was a CBS reporter he was talking to in what Donald Trump was doing when he threatened the 50% tariff. This is after the Ontario guy, Doug Ford, the premier up there, whatever his name is, threatened to cut off electrical supplies to three different states. This was Donald Trump firing back. Lutnick wouldn't even use his name. Listen.
And the only one who thinks it's chaotic is someone who's being silly. He said reciprocal tariffs.
Nobody expected him to announce 50% tariffs this morning.
He needed to break some guy in Ontario who said he was going to tax American energy 25%. The president of the United States in the White House says, oh, no, you won't, and breaks him. Breaks him in what? By a tweet and a truth. And you think that's chaotic? You know what I think that is? I think that is the thank God we have a president who's taking care of us. Because if you were in one of those states and you thought your energy prices were going to go up 25%, and you said, where's the president? And all of a sudden he came down like thunder to make that end, you'd say, cool. I'm glad that's the guy in the White House. And that's what we've got.
Yeah, that's what we've got. We didn't need a new law. We needed a new president. Mm-hmm.
Just think if we would have had Kamala Harris. I mean, really, I've thought about that over the last, what is it, almost 2 months now that Trump has officially been in office, and it would have been a disaster.
She could have talked about her love of Doritos.
That's
and
true.
And her deep understanding of artificial intelligence, which is two words, AI.
Well, we also know she likes, is it school buses? She's a fan of.
They and get Venn you diagrams.
From, she gets you from here
Venn
to there.
Venn diagrams. We'd have heard that story again mm-hmm. and again. And she might run again, just, you know, because she was so popular. Wow. All right. Coming up, we'll get to Griff Jenkins here at the bottom of the hour with more on the potential government shutdown. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back. You've heard me brag about the great folks out at McAdoodles out there in Darden Prairie. And we got Mike McKenna, the managing partner, on the phone this morning as he's chasing kids around. Mike, how are you?
You know, I'm doing great. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of kids and leprechauns and other things to chase around Darden Prairie today.
Yeah, no kidding.
We've got a big Irish whiskey festival.
leading into the weekend, that is absolutely the truth. I know that for sure. What is going on with that? Have you got an event at the store?
Yeah, we do. You know, we've really been looking forward to this. Obviously, with St. Patrick's Day coming up on Monday the 17th, folks have to get ready for it. And we figured what better than an Irish whiskey festival to do so. And to make it extra enticing, Mark, we're not just doing Irish whiskey tastings today. We're kicking the event off at 4 o'clock and running until 9. But all day long, if you spend $50 at McAdoodle's Darty and Prairie, you have the chance to enter a raffle for allocated bourbons that we have that we've been stockpiling for all our customers. And we've got some big dogs. I mean, we've got Four Roses LE 2024. We've got 13th County Double Oak. We've got a Parker's Heritage, a Jimmy Russell, a Michter's Toasted Bourbon. So basically all day long, we're going to have a good time out there. We're going to have plenty of tastings again with the Irish whiskey. We're running really hot deals. So
cool.
I think it's just going to be fun, man. We got a big inflatable LED leprechaun out front that we named Fred. Don't know why, but his name's Fred.
I love it. So on the raffle, then people buy 50. Let's say they come in and they spend $50 on wine or beer or whatever it happens to be. They get their name put in for one bottle, or is it for all five?
Yeah, that's correct. So what happens is you get a raffle ticket. You write your name and your phone number on the back of it, and you can enter. If you spend that $50, you can enter into all five of those bourbons that are available.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure everybody's got a shot at this. And and also, you know, no stuff in the ballot box here, okay? We're gonna tabulate these things by hand. This isn't digital here. You know, there's no tampering going on. But we are going to let people put one raffle ticket in each box. And hey, if you come in and you spend $100, man, that doubles your tickets. And the other factor is if you buy one of our barrel picks, which we have three on the floor currently, a Smoke Wagon barrel pick, a Blue Note Juke Joint barrel pick, and a Penelope Architect barrel pick, that would get you two tickets. So,
wow.
I again, you know, we got incentive to be in the building today. Chances at some really rare bottles.
Well, that's outstanding, and I love the fact that every time I'm in there, I'll see somebody sneaking up and down the aisles trying to find out if you've dropped one of those allocated bottles somewhere just as a surprise, because you tend to do that, don't you, randomly?
Well, we do. You know, we came to the conclusion a long time ago that we really didn't want to play the games of other stores, of having to walk in and look for the manager and say, hey, you got anything in back? And, you know, we decided that it was better to just space out the allocated bottles that we do receive over the course of a day or over a week. And, you know, we get those questions. Well, do you have any more? Well, you know, sometimes we do, but we have a maximum number that we can put out for the day. Now, here's the thing. We don't always put them out at 9 o'clock in the morning.
No.
Either.
No.
You know, and here's the reason why, Mark. There's a lot of people out there working trades that can't be at our store at 9 a.m. And I like the fact that they can come off the job site at 2, 3, 4, 6 o'clock, whenever it may be, and have a shot at these things. I like giving everyone a shot at it.
Excellent, excellent. Of course, you got Mark's picks there at the front of the store. Thank you for doing that, by the way. That's pretty cool. You walk into McAdoodles there, Bryan and Fizey Road, and you're going to see the bourbon barrel, and it's got Mark's picks for the month of March on there. The Four Roses, a small batch select, which has always been one of my favorites. The surprise for me this month was that Whistle Pig 10, though. That is outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, unfortunately, people have to come in and look at your face, though.
Well, there's the downside to everything, right?
You do have a nice picture, though, right? It's a picture of you that says Mark Cox Morning Show.
Yes, you can see you can see me right there. People may not, they recognize the voice often and not the face these days.
Yeah, but it is front and center. You know, it says Mark Cox, you know, 97.1 on the Morning Show. And so, yeah, we do have some signage for it, and it's been a fun partnership. Hey, Mark, you know, I mean, the nice part is when people come in and say, wow, I heard Mark talking about the Whistle Pig 10-year bourbon. I thought they just did rye.
Yeah.
Well, no, we've got a 10-year bourbon, and it's available, and it's on our shelves every day. And you know, you can't find that everywhere. It has been something that is not in every store. So it's been a lot of fun to have people discover things through your show, through yourself. We really appreciate it. And it's made our store really interactive, which is cool.
Well, I appreciate that. And for people, Mike, maybe that haven't had a chance to get out there and meet you, you were in the NHL, you were a goalie, and you're still pretty active with the youth here locally, aren't you? Every week?
Yeah. It's one of those past live things where it's kind of like The Simpsons, where Disco Stew doesn't need to advertise. I don't walk around with a hat that says NHL on it every day.
No,
I am very important.
But it is my story. Yeah, look at me. I am self-righteous. But it is my story. You know, I did play. You know, I had an athletic scholarship to St. Lawrence University. I got a degree in economics while playing hockey. I spent 14 years afterwards playing professional hockey, and then 4 years in media. And it just, you know, there's a lot of layers to my life, I realize sometimes, and it all intersects. But, yeah, I've got two daughters that are 9 and soon to be 12. They both play Kirkwood Youth Hockey.
That's
awesome.
We
played against St. Peter's in the finals, and St. Peter's is, you know, right in the heart of Dardeen Prairie. So I got to eat crow every day. I'm in my own building when the St. Peter's folks come in. And,
well,
the thing is, though, we're all on the same page with youth hockey in St. Louis. We may fight and be rough with one another, but ultimately we're very proud of what the city has become for hockey.
Mike McKenna, thanks for what you do, and I direct people out there to visit McAdoodles there at Bryan and Fizey Roads in Dardenne Prairie. Thank you, my friend.
Well, thanks for the time this morning. We'll see everybody out today. Irish Whiskey Festival, 4 to 9 at Dardenne Prairie. McAdoodles.
Chuck Schumer just came to the floor and said that they're willing to shut down the government because Senate Republicans didn't work with them on a CR. Now, remind you, what a CR means is a continuing resolution. It means it's the same CR that they voted for in September when Biden was in office.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
Hey, Griff, what's going on, my friend? How are you?
Good morning, Mark and Kim. I'm just in Washington, and nothing much happening here. Hoping today won't be boring like yesterday.
Well,
we just don't have any news coming out of here.
Are you ready for the lights to go off tomorrow night? Apparently, all of D.C. dark black goes black when the government shuts down.
I was thinking about what I was going to say to you this morning, some way to convey to our great listeners really what encapsulates, what captures the state of disarray the Democrats are in. And I'm going to date myself here, but I liken them now to the scene when Steve Martin was in the movie Jerk, and he's walking disheveled down the street in a bathrobe, holding like a chair. All I need is this chair, because he's fallen on hard times, and he simply has no idea what to do. And who knows if we get this shut down, but let's just lay it out. What's at stake? Obviously, the House is out. They're gone for a week and a half,
yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
If they don't vote for it, it won't marry with the House bill. So anything other than the House bill will lead to a shutdown. Now, Republicans need at least 8 Democrats to help break a filibuster, because you've got Rand Paul saying he's not going to vote for this thing. John Fetterman, Democrat, says he's supporting the Democrat bill, but he's the only Democrat. Now, that tells me that the Democrats have decided they want to make this their battle, the hill to die on in this battle against Trump and Elon Musk, right? But yet, what they haven't thought about is if the government shut down, do you think Musk would go in and cut even deeper? They may actually not have thought this all the way through.
I think he's going to say, well, wait a minute. Maybe all these jobs weren't necessary after all, because when the government was shut down, they weren't working and we didn't notice.
Yeah, and listen, we are so accustomed to Friday night drama when we have these spending bills. It's like almost every single time, if not every time, it comes down to that. So we'll see what drama we get into tomorrow. But it really doesn't look like the Democrats are backing down. Schumer saying he's against it, even though, remember, it was just a year or so ago that they were headed for it, and Schumer was like, it would be the worst thing for the country. Meanwhile, by the way, talking about Democrats not figuring out what to do, I was doing a story this morning on Fox and Friends, which got little notice, and that is the Ways and Means Committee, Congressman Jason Smith, passed a bill that simply is a one-page, literally two-paragraph bill to extend the statute of limitations to go after COVID pandemic-era fraudsters, right?
Oh, yeah.
127 Democrats, including Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, Nancy Pelosi, the entire squad, Jasmine Crockett, all voted against it.
Oh.
Why? They voted it because they said, well, we're, of course, against fraud, but President Trump illegally terminated the inspector general there, and so we're voting against it. Which is, you'd think there'd be no opposition to extending the statute, which expires at the end of this month, to go after COVID fraud. We just had a case last week in L.A. where a CHP, California Highway Patrol dispatcher, and her ex-felon husband bilked $3.3 million of American taxpayer dollars through COVID benefits using false identities of more than 100 children under the age of 10 and more than 100 prison inmates currently behind bars.
Wow. Yeah, that did get overlooked. I saw it on the rundown, but I have not seen any coverage of it outside of that story.
You start to look at all these things, and particularly if we end up in a government shutdown by Saturday, it's like, what are you doing? Like, you just can't have this like completely devoid of common sense approach.
Hey, Griff, something else I saw you posting about on X was some other TDA gang member was arrested. Was it Colorado?
Yeah, well, so I think they got him, Kim, and I'm glad you raised that, because the Border Patrol Chief Mike Banks posted today that they arrested a guy in Detroit, I believe, but he's wanted for kidnapping and torture in Colorado.
Oh,
and another TDA gang member off the streets, which, I talked last night to Tom Homan. I talked to him on a near daily basis, and to the ICE folks and to the folks in Secretary Noem's office. I mean, they have not slowed down and continuing to go after bad guys, because there are so many to go after.
Yeah.
And I saw yesterday where ICE, Bill Malusia, my colleague, had been on a call with some ICE folks saying that ICE arrest of criminal aliens Americans so far in just this first 50 days, I guess it is, has eclipsed the entire fiscal year arrests of criminal migrants under Biden's last fiscal year. And that many of those weren't actually arrests. They were actually arrested, but then quietly released.
Yes.
But wasn't it the clip we played earlier this week of the CBS reporter who was like, yeah, I go down to the border. He's a border reporter. And he's like, I didn't see a single person trying to cross.
Yeah. I don't know where he was, but yeah.
And what's great is that reporter, and I forget his name, but is the same reporters that after literally years, not weeks or months, years of Malusia and I being down there day after day after day on the border with thousands streaming across and being released, the networks were like, hey, boss, you know what? This is actually really a story. We need to do this. Then they went down there, were late to the game, and now they're down there now going, oh my gosh, I guess we should tell people there's zero people crossing now.
Wow.
It's just unbelievable. And it does, by the way, just real quick, it does 100% confirm that the message is being sent south of the border that they can't come anymore and they won't be released, so don't make the journey. And that's why you're seeing people turn back in the Darien Gap way south of our southern border.
I don't want to gloss this over what you said about what Malugin was reporting from ICE here, because had Donald Trump not won the election, we would, of course, never have known any of this. Shine some sunshine on it. This is the headline in the Daily Mail this morning. Donald Trump's ICE officials have revealed that Joe Biden's administration purposely lied about their illegal immigrant arrest numbers during his presidency to make them seem greater than they were. The stunning revelation as they announced Trump's deportation effort in the first 3 months have already surpassed all ICE arrests Biden made in the entire year for 2024, and they intentionally altered arrest data to try to make their numbers look better during the Biden administration. Wow.
Well, and, you know, I think the only thing I want to add to that is that this doesn't shock me or Bill Malusian because we knew it. Although I think one little tiny note that needs to go with that is that the ICE officials that are doing the work and doing the arrest, and PJ Lechleitner, who was a previous ICE director, you know, they weren't the ones cooking books, so to speak, because remember, anytime Border Patrol numbers or ICE arrests or any of that stuff is released, it has to go through the final approval of DHS. And DHS's Office of Communications were the political appointees under Biden that had final says on things. And so I think, I watched it in real time as we saw in any number of ways those officials trying to alter and change numbers. And then they would actually come after, behind the scenes, come after me in Malusian when we would report things like TDA gang members or, God forbid, terror screening database terrorists coming across because they try and get us to change it. And we would have the hard evidence sometimes with classified information proving them wrong.
Griff, I'm running a little long here, but I do have one last question I have to ask you because I posed this earlier and maybe you've noticed it from your perspective there in Washington. All this talk of tariffs, all this talk of reciprocal tariffs. Why have none of these investigative journalists gone to, like, I don't know, the leaders of Canada, Mexico, France, the European Union, and said, just out of interest, why do you have such high tariffs on American goods coming into your countries, and you don't think it's fair for America to do the same thing to you? Why is nobody asking that question of these foreign countries?
It's a great point, and we'll see how it shakes out. Obviously, the markets don't like the instability, but at the end of the day, however things go in the short term and certainly in the long term, because obviously President Trump believes it's going to lead to a better deal for us, you can't deny the actual facts and numbers of the tariffs put on U.S. products. And so you would think that obviously the American people would be glad to know, hey, we weren't getting a fair deal and we didn't know it. Maybe we should get a better situation.
Well, I hope somebody asks the right questions. Griff, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Sounds good, guys. And hey, tune in this weekend to Big Weekend Show. I'm going up to New York trying to weigh in on any number of things.
Excellent. We'll be watching. Thanks.
See you guys.
All right. See ya. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, Trump is busy again this morning. He was just blasting the European Union as well for for their tariffs on all of this stuff, and the U.S. is going to match their tariffs on wine, champagne, and alcohol products coming out of France and other represented countries because that's what they do to American products. That's called negotiating in public. We'll be back with more on a local St. Patrick's Day parade you can attend this weekend. Stay tuned. That was Sean Connery. Listen closely and you can tell. Many years ago. What was that movie? Was that from, Carl?
Darby O'Gill and the Little People from 1959. Before he was Bond.
Long before he was James Bond. Very, very good stuff. Hey, that's because we're going to be talking about St. Patrick's Day here in just a second. Just a quick reminder, what else is going on this weekend? The world's biggest garage sale down in Eureka. We had the folks on from the chamber to talk about it the other day on the Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. So that's happening, and hopefully they're going to get some great weather for that. That is one of the more impressive things you've ever seen. The conglomeration of stuff people sell at the biggest garage sale there on the Six Flags parking lot on Saturday. I think it's like $10 a carload or $15 to get in, something like that. And
go to the
Odyssey, you can kind of wander around.
And you can hear the whole
You
thing.
Can listen to the whole interview. Right now, I want to get to my friend Joe Brazel from St. Charles County. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing just fine. Wanted to talk to you about your Defiance St. Patrick's Day parade that's going on.
Oh, yeah, man. It's going to be so exciting. I'm so excited about this. It's our Super Bowl for Defiance. It's our absolute Super Bowl. Last year was phenomenal. This year will be phenomenal. It's going to be 70 degrees. It's going to be beautiful. We have a 5K run. Starts at 10 o'clock. You can register by getting on DefianceMissouri.com. You can also register your floats or being in the parade, or you just show up about before 11.
Yeah.
And the parade kicks off, Mark, at 12. It's going to be a blast. And we got floats. We got vendors. We got about 40 vendors. We got over 100 runners. It's what I always like to say. It's the biggest small town parade you'll ever go
to.
It's really cool.
And this is during the day on Saturday, correct?
It's Saturday. Yeah. The parade starts at 12. The road 94 shuts probably about 11:45. So try to get down there about 10:30 because we've got parking spaces at Chandler Hill Winery, Sugar Creek Winery, the silos at Sunhill Fills and at Farm, and then some of the churches in town. And we'd like to get $5 of parking just for donations that helps pay for the volunteer fire department and grass cutting and stuff
sure.
like that. Now, remember, Mark, Defiance isn't a real town. There's no government, so it's ran really well. Okay, let's keep that in mind.
Yeah, by the honorary mayor, Joe Brazel, right? Yeah. And I got to say, you know, when we talk about how this whole thing got founded, a little bird here told me that well, I think his name was Tom Shaw, that he deserves a lot of the credit for this Defiance parade.
Tom Shaw. Yeah, that's the dog of Defiance. You know, I made these T-shirts. Nick Schroer made T-shirts for me. They're called, it says, the dog of Defiance. He's in a big Mexican sombrero hat and sunglasses. You're going to see some because we're selling them in Defiance. It's hilarious.
Well, I know Tom is a mainstay down there, so I'm sure he'll be at the parade on Saturday. I tell you, I went to that Christmas parade. I took my grandson down there. Just what a great day. What a great event. You guys do such a great job, and it's just like a great little tight-knit community you got in Defiance.
Yeah, it's awesome. Everybody gets along real well, and we all volunteer. We got that caboose down there. It was all volunteers, custom crane and cold grade, and everybody helped haul it down there. That's amazing with all the volunteerism we have down there. And so on the parade, we got bagpipers. We got the police, St. Charles County Police Color Guard. So in the center of town, we do a really good patriotic thing. We post the colors, national anthem. It's awesome, Mark. So whoever can come down, we really appreciate it. We hope to see you guys.
Little slice of Americana. Joe, good luck with it this weekend. Thank you, my friend.
All right, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Yep, talk to you later. Happening on Saturday if you want to go down and have some fun. It is always a good time.
I was going to go to the one in St. Charles, Old St. Charles on Monday, although that one I'm sure will be packed. I think that one's at 4, but maybe this is something I can take, you know, my son to.
That's true. You might want to avoid Dogtown with the baby.
I will
baby.
Not be going to
Don't
Dogtown.
Don't take the baby
yeah.
down there, but if you're just looking for a good time,
there
that's on Monday as well.
There.
Yeah, there will be some babies there, I'm sure. But you got to plan early for parking. That is for sure on that one. All right, that's going to do it for us. Brian Kilmeade coming up. You can still get tickets to see him next Saturday night at the Factory. Go to 971talk.com. Thanks to Bob Kershaw and Tammy Kershaw being sponsors of that. Go to 971talk.com. We'll see you in the morning.
Get more at 971talk.com.